Well, it'd be a I'll be underestimating what I've got to say is that I've travelled a lot with Pastor Steve over the last couple of weeks. Actually, I've travelled far and wide, and he's shared a lot with me. When I got the opportunity to go down to Teen Challenge with him, I thought, wow, you know, I've got this guy to myself for 7 hours there and 7 hours back, and he shared a lot with me. Hence, I was sick for a week. Remember, Steve was meant to be preaching a couple of weeks ago, and I had to step in for him, and I'm meant to be preaching today, but he's stepping in for me. But why don't you make a warm welcome to Pastor Steve Hall, the CEO of Adult Teen Challenge.
Thanks, Kerry. I said to Kerry that thank you so much for letting me come and share with you guys. He said, no worries, Steve. I always choose people that make me look good. That's very encouraging. Thanks, Kerry. So my job today is to do a bad job so Kerry looks good and you'll go, I'm so glad Kerry's back. It is good to be here, especially seeing some good friends and people that I know. And today, Kerry said, look, talk a little bit about Teen Challenge. I don't want to say too much because I don't know. It's just Corinthians 12:9 says, and by this same Spirit you are given faith. And I just sensed today, if there was anything else, before I even start saying anything, I just believed if you're struggling in faith, ask the Holy Spirit to give you faith. It's a spiritual gift. It's a gift of God that burns in us and grows in us. And we've been singing songs today. And if anything today, I hope God shakes our tree, not Steve, but shakes our tree and says, ask me for faith. We ask him for wisdom. We ask him for lots of things. Have you asked him to fill you? I know what it's like to have a gift of faith just drop on you when you least expect it. And maybe today it's about that. But I'm now the CEO or the director, I'm not sure what they call me, for Adult Teen Challenge here in WA. Adult Teen Challenge is, many of you who have been around since early days would know who they are. Adult Teen Challenge started in 1961 by a gentleman by the name of David Wilkinson. And David was an AOG pastor who went to New York, and he had a real passion to reach out to the gangs and the drug addicts in New York. And he went to a court and wanted to try and convert someone. He was in the newspaper because he wanted to get up and say something to these young guys from this gang that were just about to be convicted, and he was taken out, and there was photographs all about this Bible-bashing preacher who was trying to interrupt a court case. From that time, you may remember the story of the cross and the switchblade. And from that cross and the switchblade, this man did an outreach, and a gentleman by the name of Nicky Cruz came to Jesus. And from that time, Nicky, who ended up becoming a pastor in his own right and is still preaching, I believe, today, correct me if I'm wrong, but since that time now, 125 countries, there's 1,400 adult and teen challenges that are reaching out to people with addictions, with life-controlling addictions, and Jesus is changing their lives. It's all based on the Bible. The whole program is all Bible teaching. That's 24,000 people a year going through Adult Teen Challenge across the globe. And we've had one here since for 36 years now because of a gentleman by the name of Malcolm Smith who started the organization here. And even today, we're seeing heaps of not just young people now, it's mostly adults going through who come to us with broken families, broken lives at the bottom of the bottom. They've usually got a truckload of debt. And in 12 months, we see their lives turned around because of the gospel. Here's the truth. The gospel works. The gospel works. It changes lives. We see, we have three phases. The first phase is freedom. For the first phase of that, the training or the teaching that we do in Esperance, we look at how do I break free from this addiction? And in that time, we look at helping them get rid of debt. We help them to understand that they are created by God, that they're a new creation, that they are loved. We put back a sense of worth. Then we look at the second phase, which is success. How do I live a successful life without addiction? And so we look at the 50 characteristics of the Bible and those things such as generosity or forgiveness, the things, all those characteristics in the scripture we go through. Phase three, which is my favorite phase, is that one of significance. How do I live a life of significance? See, I believe that everybody has been called for a purpose. And God gave me this word a little while ago. It was this. It said, I will build my kingdom on the broken. And one of the things I love about Adult Teen Challenge, which sets it apart a little bit from others, is that we seem to have so many people come through. And I think it's because of its early DNA. So many guys and girls that come through that end up doing ministry. They're either running churches, planting churches, involved in churches. I tried to get someone to come and share with you, and they're all busy serving in their churches. And I'm thinking, goodness, we did too good a job. Because you see, the truth is that you weren't just... The devil's come along to take away your purpose, but your purpose here is to build the kingdom. And so I want to just show you, we're going to run out of time, I think, but I'm going to just show you, am I okay? I'm going to show you a little clip of Adult Teen Challenge, which is based down in Esperance. Our vision and our goal is to grow it. We truly believe that we need to be an organization that finds favor with God and favor with man. So we want God and good practice. And that's what we're putting in now, good practice. We're an accredited organization through WANADA and through the ICHA, which is a government recognized. So we are recognized by the government, but we're also completely evangelistic and God-based. And I believe that in the community today, we have to rise up and stand strong that we have good practice, but we also have God. We're not going to miss that. We're not going to go off our focus. We're still about conversion. But we're going to be people who can stand strong. We're just putting in a software that God has it's been developed in America, cost $5 million. And we've been able to have it here in WA. We're just about to launch it, which means that we can actually help have proper case management and identify the issues of addiction and put the right materials, the council, wraparound services in place so that we see lives change. But the true change happens in Christ-centered communities. This is the Christ-centered community that we have down in Esperance that I managed to take Kerry to the other day, and I trust you don't get the flu when you watch it. Have a look at this. It's a great, I'm sure Ben, it would be looking at some of the pictures. I recognise that person, we're redeveloping our solutions seminar, which if you're interested, solutions we want to give to the local church and say we'll run this in your community because we believe that functional addiction is an issue. It's a big issue and it's wrecking families and it's wrecking our community. And I know there's a lot of hurting parents and friends and family are saying, well, what do I do with that? So we've developed this solutions seminar, which we are going to launch in a couple of weeks. So grab one of those, but we're probably going to see this around the place because we want to put this right through the churches in our city and say, how can we give this to you so you can reach your local community in this area of addictions? The other thing that we would like to offer you is if you want to get involved, find out more, our newsletter's there and you can go onto the QR code on the newsletter and you can sign up for that. And if you're a golfer, please look at the back. We're doing a golf, which will raise money for Adult and Teen Challenge. We take no money from government. We've decided to do that on purpose so we don't receive finances from government. We believe the kingdom of God will supply kingdom ministries. And so we look for that. And we've been able to do that. Thank you to Malcolm. We've been able to do that over the years and we continue to do that. But we do believe that we've got a lot that we need to give to the churches. So that's our goal, is to go, how do we give this to the local churches? But just to give you a feel of what actually happens, and I get moved when I hear the stories of some of these guys. I've asked Ben. Ben came through our program. He's got an incredible story. I don't know if you'll get to all of it today. He's got an incredible story and ended up being one of our program managers down at Teen Challenge, has recently got married. So I'm going to ask Ben just to come up and tell you a little of his story before we go into looking at how does God shake our trees and change lives. Come on, come forward.
Whoa. All right. My name's Ben. I'm 30. This is my beautiful wife, Renna. And before I start with my story, I often compare my wife to a little physical realm, Holy Spirit, there to kick me up the pants when I need it and to love me no matter what. God is amazing. And I'm a living testimony for Him, for His glory, for His power, and His amazing. I grew up in Western Australia. I was born in Wanneroo Hospital, now known as Joondalup Hospital. Me and my brother were unconsensually conceived by my father. We were unwanted by them, but wanted by God. My dad was the right-hand man for Johnny Kizon. My mum was abused. She's adopted into a Christian family at a young age, so she's had Christian upbringing, but very broken woman. I suffered physical, emotional, sexual abuse throughout my life. We were put in witness protection and moved to South Australia under the presumed name of Tyne to get away from my father. We were shifted. I went to about 13 primary schools. I went to one high school. And life was messy. Life was a constant living in fear of what could happen the next day. We come back when my mum's adopted father chopped his leg off with a chainsaw by accident. We come back to Western Australia. We did life. At the age of about 5, 6 years old, I'd go into the medicine cabinet, grab the Panadol, the Nurofen, the codeine, the brandy my nana used when she had an upset stomach, and I'd thrash it to get out of this life I was living. I went to high school. I was bullied severely. My best friend was legally blind from birth. I copped a lot of poop for that. I was dyslexic. I had learning difficulties. I decided to leave school, start doing aggravated burgs, drugs, selling drugs, debt collecting, all the fun stuff that the world says is cool, man. During the night, I was doing breaks and aggravated burgs. During the day, I was working at YMCA, not ministering, but working with children. Then I was a manager of a pizza shop. I got myself into a real dark place. I was sexually abused when I was 18 years old by someone that's supposed to love me and their friend. I went to Queensland. I lived there on and off for 3 years. But one thing I'll tell you is the trouble will follow you wherever you go. In the darkness, I came back. I was very successful in the aircon and refrigeration industry. I made a lot of money, had a lot of materialistic things, was high functioning addict. I got to the point where I did 6 months consecutive in a locked ward mental institution, St. John of God in Midland and Joondalup Hospital. Locked ward, involuntary patient, told that I would never be able to live a life unassisted from medication and side-by-side counsel for the rest of my life. They gave me the choice, go to rehab or go to Greylands. I thought, rehab might be all right. My mum packed me a lunchbox, and she didn't pack me a lunchbox with a banana and an apple and a sandwich in it. She packed me a lunchbox with a couple of eckies, a couple of dexies, a bag of weed, And I went down to Teen Challenge. I was at Teen Challenge at the end of 2016. I was there for about 2 months. Rocked up to Teen Challenge. I went, what the flip and flop is going on in this place? I went into my room and I said, God, you know, this God. I was like, God, where the heck have you been, God? God, where have you been, God? Where have you been, God? And I heard this still small voice say, where have you been? And it dropped me on my ass that hard, I didn't know what hit me, mate. And over that 24-hour period, God just started taking all this stuff from my life that I didn't know how to let go of, let alone comprehend how to even get to that place. And he took it, and I made the decision to stay at Teen Challenge. The next day, I punched someone in the head, and I got kicked out of Teen Challenge. But that's my fault. I got kicked out on New Year's Eve. I was on the bus New Year's Eve. As soon as I got off the bus, went back and did the wrong thing. I OD'd on Christmas Day 2017 in the middle of Reed Highway in me jocks. I woke up choking on my own vomit and I went, ooh, I think I better go back to Teen Challenge. From the 25th of January, or 26th of January 2017, I had to wait until the 7th of February. And I didn't use a drug. And that was the longest I hadn't used a drug by myself ever. Went to Teen Challenge. And I went, you know what? I'm going to chase God as hard as I chase the drugs. I used to kick down doors for drugs. I used to hurt people for drugs. Now, I didn't do that for Jesus. But he done that for me. He ran after me and he met me where I was at. And I just started reading the word. And the word is ever-present, powerful, but imperishable and unchangeable. And it says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And that's from James 1, chapter 1, verse 25. I did the program to the best of my ability. I failed most days, but I kept going. I haven't used a drug since the second time I've been back to Teen Challenge. I've been clean for about 4 or 5 years. I left Teen Challenge program when I finished. I did an 18-month program, which is a very long program. I, to the date when I was there, had done more community hours than anyone that had ever done in that program. I did 236 hours of community work as well as my program. I went in with $120,000 worth of debt. I paid $38,000 worth of debt while I was there, which is amazing. I left. I came back. I was a brickies labourer. I felt unaccomplished. I felt lacking. And I knew my life was no longer for me. And I went to church that Sunday and God gave me Acts 20:24. And it says, I no longer live a life for myself, but I lay it down to share the gospel of God. The next day, Teen Challenge called me. And they said, hey, man, we want to offer you a job. And I said, he was like, go away, pray about it, think about it. I was like, well, funny you say that. And I went down there 3 days later. I was there for about 3 years. Started as a mentor. Then I went to program manager. The God in people that we can't see sometimes is so big and so mighty. And, you know, sometimes it just takes a little bit of faith. And God opens the door, but we've got to walk through the door. And, you know, since I left Teen Challenge, life hasn't been easy. My nana was diagnosed with breast cancer, but is now in remission through the grace of God. My mom and my brother had nothing to do with me, really. My mom is clean off the drugs. My brother, in the last 2 weeks, we're reconciled. I've got a beautiful wife, a beautiful family, beautiful friends. And it's got nothing to do with me. It's to do with God. I'm currently going through 6 weeks of radiation therapy for a desmoid tumor in my shoulder. And people go, where's your energy come from? How do you do this? And I say, not me, but Christ in me. Because he is so much bigger than any problem you have, despite whether or not you think it. And he will overcome anything that needs to be overcome. And we give glory to God and we give honor to God because he's amazing. and he loves you. And if I've got to finish with one thing, is he loves you. He loves you, he wants to embrace you, and he wants to meet you where you're at. Amen.
That's only a little bit of his story. I know the rest of it. And I know some of the things that he got up to. And let me tell you, he's a walking gospel message. The gospel works. It's just there. I love this scripture that is probably going to become a significant part of our purpose for moving forward. It's Hebrews 6:19. It says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain." I love what it says in the Passion version of that. It says, like, the anchor is tied to the altar of God and it draws us in. It's beautiful. And that's what, if you're losing hope, maybe you're in a situation right now, can I tell you that the hope that we have is actually in reach? And the whole purpose, our mission statement for Global Teen Challenge, is putting hope within reach. Because it's there. It's there for us. It can change a bend. And I can tell you, Teen Challenge, one of my favourite spots down at Grace Academy in Esperance is the chapel. You saw the picture of it. It's a beautiful chapel. But why it's so important to me is the vision behind it. There's a cross with John 3:16 on it. And then there's windows behind the stage that look out onto all these trees. Each one of those trees has been planted for a graduate. There's 2,000 trees. But on the other side of that tree, those trees, is our paddock that we put a crop in. And that's like the harvest field. And it's like God takes us into the chapel and he takes them through to graduates and then out into the harvest field. And so these stories are more than just one person's life change. They're stories that are the gospel message walking in our communities. But I want to ask the question, and I wonder for you, like me, is there times you hear these stories and you go, great, but tomorrow when we're facing issues, when we're facing challenges, when we're not sure, but we've got a loved one who's, and I've seen it happen over and over again, pulls the family apart because of addictions. And they hurt families and they hurt parents because the addiction is controlling them. It's easy to lose that hope. It's easy to lose that faith. And I want to take you today to a scripture that I think helps me understand a little bit about what God has done in my life and what I think he's probably done in many of your lives. And a reminder again that God wants to shake our tree. And today I want to talk about a tree change. A tree change. Yes, all move up to Kalamunda because that's the best place. The story starts with a fellow called Zacchaeus, and you'll find it in Luke. And Luke, as many of you will know, is known as really the gospel of the outcasts. The gospel of the outcasts. And Luke writes this to a dear friend, his excellent Theophilus. And he writes this in a time when Roman rule was very strong in Jerusalem at that time. And we know that it was a brutal time of leadership. And the Jewish people who were supposed to, because of their faith, pay a tax to the church, also were being forced to pay a tax to Rome. So they're being double taxed. And we understand that they used to find Jewish people of some sort of reputation, but mostly skills, to come and be tax collectors for them. Matthew was one of them. And these tax collectors were in a difficult situation because they were being controlled by Rome, but they were supposed to be taking extra taxes off their own people, the Jewish people. They weren't liked by the Jews because they would also be addicted to their finances. So they were taking extra money. and keeping it for themselves. So they weren't liked by the Jews. They weren't liked by the Romans. They were treated pretty bad because they were just doing the job. And so you had these people that had lots of wealth, lots of position. And if you were the chief of tax collectors, that was even worse. And so we pick up this story of Zacchaeus, a man who I think was struggling with where he was at. And I'm going to presume that he was a man who was addicted to the finances by what I read between the lines. And we pick up this story in Luke 19. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Jesus is passing through. Even now, Jesus might be passing through your life. Jesus is coming past. And how we respond to him is going to be really, really important. And it says, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He had everything, all that you needed. He wanted to see who Jesus was. He'd heard about this Jesus. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. He climbed a sycamore tree. He climbed up a tree. I used to, Mark and I, when we were crazy, at the age of 22 and just married, we decided to take on a children's home, boys' home. 8 boys, all emotionally hurting. They broke my heart because I saw the pain they went through. And every time they were disappointed by parents that let them down, or disappointed because they couldn't achieve at school and called names because they had no parents, they would crack up. They would go wild. They would either, we had some who were the escape artists, they would just go for walks in the bush. We had others that would just sit there and cry. We had others that would just throw things at the wall and try and break something or someone. But we had one particular boy. Whenever he was in a state of rejection and hurt and pain, what he would do, he would go out the front, which we had this great big tree, and he would climb the tree. And I used to sit there sometimes and think to myself, what have you got up in that tree? What have you got up in that tree? I tell you, there's one way to get a young man out of a tree, and that's food. So he got to dinner time, and they would always come back. But he's up in that tree. But see, up in that tree, what he had was rejection. He was rejected by his mum and his dad every time they let him down. What he had up in that tree was a low self-worth. What he had in that tree was bitterness. What he had up in that tree was his anger. What he had up in that tree. And I think Zacchaeus climbed that tree with a whole bunch of baggage. And he was up the tree in pain. Sometimes we take up in our trees a whole heap of things. Disappointments, confusion. And sometimes, if you're like me, it wasn't that long ago, I was wanting to drive into that tree because I was filled with so much darkness, so much pain, so much rejection, so much confusion, so much panic attack and anxiety. And I think that sometimes we hide that with our Christianity, but we need to be real about where we're at. You know, one of the first things of the gospel is actually confession, which basically means being real. One of the greatest, the first things of addiction, of changing out of addiction is being honest about the darkness that's in my heart, the secrets, the shame that I'm carrying, the disappointments that I'm carrying. That's why we encourage them to do their stories, because you see, it's out of the heart. And if it's held in tight, I've been up the tree a lot of times, looking for Jesus. But my problem is, I've got so much stuff up the tree, I can't see him. There's too much around. I wonder if you've been up that tree. I wonder if you've been up the tree where you've just been saying, I hear the stories all the time. But you see, look what happened. I love this bit that comes on next. It says, Luke 19:5, it says, and when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. When he reached the spot, I love that. Jesus meets us at the spot, the place where we are up the tree. He goes to that place. He meets us at the spot and he looks at us. I might have told the story last time of a good friend of ours, Bill, who's down there. Bill's awesome. I love Bill. He's Taiwanese, Vietnamese fella, and he cracks me up. He's always sending me strange texts. I can't work out his humour, cross-cultural humour. But he tells the story about how he was absolutely blotto in Mirabooka. He'd overdosed. He'd actually taken a whole bunch of stuff and then he went into the toilets and took some heroin. The next minute he knows he's in an ambulance on his way to Royal Perth Hospital. He's at Royal Perth Hospital. The doctors were trying to bring him around and he wasn't going to come. And when they finally got him, Bill says, the doctor was a bit shocked because he said, I thought you were dead. Bill then is in the Royal Perth Hospital detoxing, going through hell. And he says, I shouted out to God in my pain. Now remember, he knows nothing about Jesus. He knows nothing about the gospel. He comes from Vietnam. His parents were Buddhists and he shouts out, God, if you're real, give me a sign. So 2 days later, he's out the front of Royal Perth Hospital having a fag and he's puffing away and he sees this homeless bloke come to him and says, hey, mate, do you need a sign? Bill said, pardon? And then the guy gave him this flyer and took off. He says, you're looking for a sign from God. This is it. God meets you where you're at. He goes to the spot. I could tell you more. There was Paul who was flaked out on Wanneroo Road and the cars just screeched to a halt and he nearly died. God meets you at your spot of great desperation. In fact, can I suggest to you, in my experience, God is the real, is the closest sometimes in our darkest times. In the times when we are desperate, when the times we are aching with pain, I know God met me in my spot when I lost my son. I know God's met me in my spot when I was in my deepest, darkest anxiety. God meets us at the spot. And right now, maybe you're at the spot. God wants to meet you because he meets us at the place, at the tree, and he looks up. And he knows everything you've got up in that tree. He knows it all. No surprises. He knows it all. But this is what he does. And it says, and he said to him, Zacchaeus. He called his name. Jesus has just walked into town. They didn't have little badges on saying, I'm from the tax collector and my name is Zacchaeus. He walked in and he called him by name. God calls us by name. Right at Genesis, Adam, where are you? We find him talking to Moses. Moses, I'm here. He talked to David. He talked to Saul. He calls us by name. I love that. Recently, we were out at, we were camped out in the middle of the desert, the Simpson Desert, and Margie went into our camper and I would stay outside. I looked up to do my little prayer time and I went, oh my goodness, you're a big God. Those stars, you are, God, I've made you too small. I've put you into my little world of needs. And yet that God, that put those billions of stars in the sky, called Steve by name. When I smelt like a well-used pub sitting on the back of a Tirana, just made an absolute goose of myself, and God called me by name. Steve, I want to be your friend. God calls us by name. He called Saul when he was going down to Damascus, and he says, and he stops him on the middle of the road and he calls him by name and he says, Saul, what are you doing? And he changed his name to Paul. He calls you by name right now. I have no doubt God's calling some of you right by name right now. You might say, I've been a Christian for a long time, Steve. Yes, so have I. And he still calls me by name. He still knows those trees I'm hiding up. He still knows that I need a tree change. I need to shake that tree. And it starts off by knowing that I'm up the tree with a bunch of baggage. And he calls me by name. And then what we find is that all of a sudden something happens and we see this change happen. It says here, and so he came down at once. He came down at once. There's an invitation to come down and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord. He didn't say, look, Jesus. He didn't say, look, Rabbi. He didn't say, look, teacher. He said, look, Lord. Here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. Here's the tree change. He's up in the tree with all his baggage. Jesus comes along to the spot, that particular spot. He looks up. He calls him down. He goes to his place and says, I'm coming to your place for dinner today. He goes and has dinner at his place. And there is a tree change. First of all, he changed. It says here, Romans 2:4, God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. Well, the message puts it this way. Or do you think that because he's such a nice God, he let you off the hook? Better think this one through from the beginning. God is kind, but he's not soft. In kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand and he leads us into a radical life change. There's two ways of changing a life. One, you're changed because of fear. Oh my goodness, I'm going to go to hell. Oh, I don't want to go to hell. I'm going to change. I'll definitely change. It's called religion. But there's another way of change. And it comes through kindness. It comes through love. And that's relationship. See, Jesus came to the earth because he loved you and I. Jesus came to this world. He says he came and dwelt amongst us. And he went to a tree and he died on a tree so that you and I would change. He gave the first tree change so you and I could have the big tree change. Three things changed. First of all, his heart. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord. That means master or boss or the person in control. Zacchaeus' heart was he was the boss. He was in control. He dominated people. And all of a sudden, he's saying, I'll make you my Lord. You see, there needs to be a heart change. There was a young girl who'd come to our program. And she'd was sitting in our new, we moved our gym and we put our gym to a different room looking over the lake. It's beautiful, nice room, and there's a gym there. And this girl came back to the program. She'd been in the program. We called it Resto because she came back because she'd fallen off the perch, needed to come back and redo a bit more of her program. She came back. She was sitting in the gym feeling pretty angry with herself, with the world, with the place and everything else. And she's sitting there in the gym doing the weights, looking out on the lake. And she sees these ducks, little ducklings, and a duck, right? Duck, big duck, little ducklings. And one little duckling had gone off by itself and was stuck in the mud by the edge of the lake. And it's sort of like a friend duckling came along and it was sort of like trying to move it away. And she said, I'm watching these ducks. And God speaks to me. Because finally, big duck comes along and helps little duck out and takes it back to the group. And it was like the Lord said to her, it's time to change your heart and come back to the family. You see, it's isn't that part of it? You see, part of the change is my heart has to change. I know my heart got really hardened. When I'm going through tough stuff, it can get pretty hard, right? And when you get hard, it's hard to worship. When you get hard, it's hard to talk to God. When your heart is hard and you're protecting a lot of pain, but God says, I want to be part of that pain. And you see, there's got to be a heart change. And his heart changed. He said, I'll make you Lord again. And right now, if you're struggling with hope and faith, maybe it's because our heart needs to change and make him Lord again. And say, I let you into this part of my heart, my pain. Because that's what's up in my tree right now. See, there's also a change of direction. Listen to this. It says, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. Instead of taking, he wants to give back. See, I've taken from everybody, but Jesus, because I've come down from my tree, you've come into my world, I'm making you my Lord. You know what? Something's different's going to happen. I told you about Paul. Paul's 52, beautiful guy. He was in our last newsletter. And Paul tells the story about how he really, alcohol destroyed his life. He lost his license. He was went to court a number of times. He had massive debts, $84,000 worth of debts. He tried to stop and it didn't work because he said, I was doing it for the wrong reason. Until he found himself with two people looking at him as he's lying on Wanneroo Road. He comes to the program. He's done really well. He's just finished. In fact, he's just finished stage three. And he was in my office the other week. And he sits in my office and he says, Steve, he said, oh, I'm so excited. I drove down to Esperance. Drove up from Esperance because I wanted to see you. I said, cool. He said, I was driving back and I just felt God say, ring up your child, your son. His sons are older now. So he rang up his son and he said, can I call over? He said, I'd love you too, Dad. He went over and saw his son and gave a big hug and his daughter. And as he came into my office, he said, Stephen, I'm really excited because I've paid all my debts off now. So I'm debt free. He's now got an opportunity of a job, but he's probably going to come and work with us for a while. But he's got an opportunity for a job. But he said this is why we'll put him on staff. He said, I've realized, Steve, that I stuffed up being a good dad. But I've discovered I can be a dad to those who don't have dads. And I want to give my life back to being a dad to others. I love that. Isn't that a tree change? That's a heart change. That's what had to happen to Zacchaeus. He said, my heart's changed and now my direction's changed. I want to give back. I want to do something with what I've got. And God wants us to give back. But the other thing that happened is relationships change. It says, if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back, not that what I owe them, four times. That's going to make him broke. Four times. When God shakes our tree up, and we realize that he's taken us down the tree and he comes into our world and we make him Lord and our heart gets changed, this is what happens. All of a sudden, relationships around you change. Like Paul, like others, I can tell you, relationships are restored because their heart's in a place of being able to do relationship because now they know a great relationship. See, when God takes us out of our tree, all of a sudden, relationships. That those people that hurt you no longer are the ones that you push away. They're the ones you want to draw close. Those people that you're bitter about, they tend to disappear. Because you see, God changes the heart and he restores relationship. Love others, not as you love yourself anymore. A new commandment I give to you. Love others as I have loved you. Died for you even though you didn't deserve it. I died for you even though you rejected me. I died for you even though you've blasphemed me. I died for you. Love others that way. Relationships change. And here's another thing that happens when God shakes our tree and we have a tree change. All of a sudden, you get a new direction, a new purpose in your life. There's a purpose to life now. You listen to Ben here. He's got a purpose in life. I spoke to someone just the other day who's come through. He said, Steve, now I feel like I've got a reason to live. I've got a purpose. There's a young guy called Kyle, beautiful Indian fella. He's funny as a... And I had him on radio. If you listen to his, if you listen to Sunshine Radio, if you go to 98.5, go online, there's some of our interviews that we've done online. And Kyle came to us again, Indian fella, being from... fostered and really struggled with being loved, really struggled with life. He ends up, he's at Teen Challenge, and God just, he just suddenly discovered he had this ability for singing. And he wrote a song, and it's actually on radio. It's a beautiful song. And he's saying, Steve, I want to do this song for others. I've got a reason to live now. He's now the worship pastor of a church over in Ellenbrook. Because God's given him a purpose now. That's what happens when God shakes our tree. In closing today, I just want to just share with you or just encourage you today. If you've struggled with your faith, if you've been like me where you just journey along and you just go, 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 but your faith has dropped, your hope has dropped. Maybe you're facing sickness. Maybe you're facing struggles with your family. Maybe you're just not seeing answers at the moment and you're starting to even question. Well, don't be alarmed, because even our disciples who lived with Jesus for 3 years still doubted. But maybe let Jesus come to your tree where you've got a whole bunch of doubts up there and a whole bunch of unanswered prayers, and listen to him call your name. Steve. Steve, I want to come to your house. I want to come and do a heart change on you. And maybe you're carrying a whole bunch of pain. Talk to him about it. Talk to him. Write it down. Give it to him. I've got so much stuff written down that I've got a whole book of things I've had to write down because it's the best way of me dealing with it and giving it to God. Write it down. Do your narrative. Tell him exactly how you feel. Tell him that you're disappointed with him. He's big enough. He's a big God. He can handle it. But if you hold it in, it'll destroy you. But if you let it out, he'll deal with it. That's the gospel. And it works. It works. Let's pray. Father God, I want to pray right now for us all in this room. I pray, Holy Spirit, would you renew faith where faith has dropped? Would you renew our hope in a God who is alive? And God, as I stand here now and think of the trees in this place, think of what I have in my tree. Would you help us hear your voice? Would you change our hearts? Would you renew our faith? Would we be bold enough to tell you how we feel, that we might see a life change? And God, I'm believing that you will send us all out afresh this week with new purpose, that we will see the person on the soccer field and pray for them for healing, that we will see the person in casino and just stop and pray for them. Why? Because we have a faith in a God that says, I don't care what people think anymore, because I've come down from my tree, because I know a God that wants me to give back four times what I've taken. And I do that in Jesus' name. Amen.